Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us right on our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We are in London. All right, so we're on Twitter Live. Is that what it is? I'm not doing this the whole show. I've never wanted a camera in my studio during the radio show. It's annoying. And we did Facebook Live once. When did we do that? We did it when Lauren got proposed to. It was a surprise proposal. With Don, her, which is Linda, who's back there. You can show Linda, show sweet baby James, show Sarah Carter, who's putting the pillow up. Yeah, we're in a hotel room. I mean, this is crazy because we have to hide out. And Sleeping Beauty, why don't you show yourself? Come on, man up. Let's go. Do it. No, you don't want to do it? Oh, no. Oh, well. It's been a crazy day here in London. I spent quite a bit of time out amongst the anti-Trump protesters here. And it was kind of like a bet between me and my television staff, because I kept saying nobody in London knows who I am. I think we're on Sky TV, but when we come on, it's like 2 a.m. because it's 5 hours ahead of time. And what would that make? So 7 a.m. I don't think anyone's waking up to Hannity. I don't know what channel we were even on. You can't get it at this TV that's behind me. I know they don't have it. They only have fake news CNN. Oh. And how great was the president? Oh, no, no. He has a joint press conference with Theresa May. No. He goes, we don't answer questions for fake news. It was priceless. The big deal was the London mayor will throw this up on. So for those of you actually watching at Sean Hannity on Twitter, that was the big balloon that they have of Donald Trump. It just wasn't funny. So I'm talking to these people. Or trying to talk to the people. The first thing that, if you put a microphone in their face, would you like to talk? And the first thing, they open their mouth, they're like, whoa, whoa. Hey, give me a match and I can, yeah, literally this place is going to blow up. They're all wasted. They're all tanked up. They're all drunk. And at least all the people I talked to were pretty stupid. Why are you here?
Because of Trump. That's why we're here.
Okay, what don't you like about Donald Trump?
He's mean. He's
hurt America. I'm like, no, he hasn't. And I start throwing out my Hannity statistics and trying to have a conversation with them. And that didn't work out that well. And I just go on and on and on. And it's just like a waste of time. Now, there was some hostility. One guy, when we were out there, true story, and Sarah Carter saw this, where... I'm interviewing somebody like this. Guy comes up, tries to grab me, and it was a hit and run, a big, big baby. And I'm like, hello, whoa. And I start trying to follow the guy. Come here, sunshine, let's go. Come on, over here. I'm going like this. I think we got that on tape too. And, but I just walk away with the feeling it's just like the protesters occupying Antifa and all these other. You know, sometimes you interview them and they say the dumbest things. They don't even know why they're there, except that everybody else is going there. And let's have a party there. And let's have a few pints while we're there. By the way, the pubs in London, they are actually fun. And they don't seem to have the restrictive rules like Nanny State, New York City, that Nanny Bloomberg put in place. There are people that actually smoke cigarettes and they can take their drinks outside the pub. Which is, that would be called freedom. Good point. We take calls from the gallery here. Anyway, so that is the everybody worked up, of course, over the president. And, you know, the president had to say, yeah, he likes and respects Theresa May. But the problem is she did wreck Brexit. And we're going to talk to Nigel Farage later in the program. It didn't work out well. This was the cover of the Drudge Report last night. Yeah, it says the Sun had an interview with the president. Now it became somewhat problematic for them. And the president rightly blamed Theresa May for blowing up Brexit. Now she's saying it's going to happen in 2019. The people of Great Britain, the people in England voted for that. They want that. And she's been incapable of getting it done. Boris Johnson now recently challenging her and resigning just this week. So a lot was coming up. And the president even going as far as to say, well, I told Theresa May how to actually do this, but she wrecked it, how to do Brexit. And that means that the trade deal that they were going to have, Great Britain with the United States one-on-one, which was a good deal for everybody, might now be off the table. But that said, we'll see what happens over time. Nigel Farage at the heart of the movement, he's saying the same thing that they wrecked it. That's one of the issues we're going to get to today, where we have more fallout from the Peter Strzok disaster that was yesterday. We have more fallout from the NATO meeting that the president had. And a big preview, the president is meeting the bad actor Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. Now, just for programming purposes, we are going to pack up all this gear. Well, we're doing Hannity tonight here first from London, and we're going to pack up all this gear, and we're going to move to Helsinki, where the president will be meeting with Vladimir Putin and the hostile regime that is Russia and the bad actor that is Vladimir Putin. And it's going to be very, very interesting, especially in light of what happened back in the States today. Now, remember, they did indict all these Russian bot companies. Remember, that was a big deal, big announcement, Russian bots. Just to give you some background, it was Devin Nunes. Nobody should have been surprised that the United States, that hostile actors were trying to create chaos in the United States. They do it every single day. They're doing it today. If there's any controversy in the United States, they will actually take both sides. Some bots taking one side, some bots taking another side. And they did it in the election. You know, some supporting Trump, some supporting Hillary. So Robert Mueller, thinking that these bot companies are never, ever, ever going to respond to his indictment, you know, he thought it was a win-win. He gets the word Russia in there, has nothing to do with the Trump campaign. Seems like his special counsel is doing their job and they're figuring out what had happened here. But then these companies, well, they started to actually fight back. And it was obvious and clear, especially when you read the court filings that have been put forward, especially by the companies. Robert Mueller had no clue that they were going to fight back. And then now Robert Mueller is actually trying to say that we are not going to allow discovery in those particular cases. So Rosenstein today, big announcement. Now, the timing of this is pretty dubious to me, which is pretty much on the eve of the president meeting with Vladimir Putin. And if I'm Vladimir Putin, and nobody in the media got this part right, when President Trump challenged not only the NATO alliance to step up and pay their fair share, because we're paying $700 billion a year. That's all of you in tax land here. That's all money that you could have for your families. Okay, we understand the need for NATO. I'm not saying to get out of NATO, but we're paying the bulk of money to provide for European defense. And then Angela Merkel is signing billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars in energy deals with Russia and literally creating a dependency that puts them in jeopardy because if Putin turns off the spigot and 70% of the lifeblood of the German economy comes from Russia, what are we going to do then? And what Trump really was doing was advocating, well, we've got more natural gas resources than any other country in the world that we could literally provide for hundreds of years. There's a great story out today how the U.S. is now on the verge of passing both Saudi Arabia and Russia, reclaiming the title of the world's biggest crude oil producer. Well, that's because the Obama-era regulations against energy formation and using energy resources, well, that's now been lifted under Trump. And that means, yeah, it saved the coal mining industry in West Virginia and Kentucky and other places. Yeah, we can drill in Anwar in the 48 states and off the coast of the Pacific and Atlantic and off the Gulf Coast. And we can move towards energy independence. Now, why would Germany undermine their own security and give 70% of their energy monies to Vladimir Putin and the hostile regime of Russia? That just doesn't make sense. And they're not even paying their fair share as it relates to NATO. None of that makes sense. Anyway, so Rod Rosenstein, just to get back to this other point, 12 Russian intel officers. Let me tell you what that's the equivalent of. That's like 12 CIA operatives that have been arrested in Russia. We're never going to see these people, but it creates the appearance that something terrible is about to happen or happened in the election. Well, nobody seemed to care that Barack Obama, when he was president, that he even used taxpayer money and sent some of his political cronies and operatives over to Israel for the very purpose of undermining Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, one of our closest allies. Why? For the purpose of impacting the election, hoping the prime minister would be defeated. Now, the real truth is simple. The Russians try to hack us. We try to hack them. Everything that we're upset that they're doing, we're doing to them. That's what happens. The fact that the United States has not lived up to preventing the ability of these people to hack us is ridiculous. You know, everyone's saying, you know, the other big story, well, you know, we now know that the Russians, they got into the DNC. Well, we know that 6 foreign intelligence services hacked into Hillary's email. We don't know which one or how it got into the hands of WikiLeaks. We don't, you know, it could have been any of them. You know, Russia, China, North Korea, the Iranian mullahs. At what point do you say, fool me once, shame on you. Twice, shame on you. Fool me 1,000 times and let decades go by and you don't create a defense against all these cyber crimes. Well, then it's shame on us. We've got to be really stupid at that point. You know, and then you got crazy Democrats that if Donald Trump wakes up in the morning and breathes, they feign moral outrage that Donald Trump is president. They live in a perpetual state of outrage. But the Democratic suspects all coming out of the woodwork. Now they're demanding, based on the Rosenstein indictment of intel officers from Russia, how about we prevent it? 2014, Devin Nunes in the Washington Times warned everybody. The House Intel Committee chair warned everybody in 2014, Russia's tried it before, they've done it in past elections, and they're going to do it in 2016. Nobody doubts the nefarious intentions of Vladimir and Russia. They're not our friend, but it's smart to talk to them. Let's see if we can get some of these issues resolved. And then, of course, you've got all the Russian intelligence that, It is beyond comprehension that the United States doesn't do more to fix this. All right, are we turning this camera off? By the way, Twitterland, goodbye. We'll see you soon. All right, thank goodness. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, we are in London. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part. All right, can we just talk about this? Put that mic up on the air there. Put that mic up and you two to go over there and talk. So we just did this whole thing on Twitter Live. And so Linda's like a little edgy today.
I'm not edgy.
A little.
What's wrong with you? You're always...
But in a good way.
You know why I'm edgy.
Oh, I do know why she's edgy.
Why?
Because you're annoying.
Oh, you're blaming me for this.
No, it is your fault.
I did know about this much earlier on.
Because I was doing somewhere, I went long. Is that what it's about?
You always go long. You don't listen to breaks. I would love you to pull the crap you pull on radio, on TV, and see how well they would take it over there.
It never happened.
You're so lucky. You're lucky I don't throw things at you.
I actually...
This is, you know what? This has been my whole day. And because I met first the London protesters, they didn't particularly like me.
They got nothing on me.
Yeah. And now I'm getting protested in my own radio studio.
I'm going to make a big balloon of you, Baby Sean.
Baby Sean.
Just like oh, you know what? That's so bad, Linda, because you know it's coming.
It's coming, baby.
Oh, I think it was, I actually enjoyed being out there with the people. And I don't.
It was great. Sean, it was great. It was kind of gut-wrenching, though, at moments. It was a little tough because, you know, for us, standing outside of it all, watching you, you were doing great. People were actually conversing with you, talking to you.
Right.
But there were some haters out there, and it was a little frightening.
It was like my presence, you could see visibly change their outlook and their
well,
appearance.
Well, one guy just told you, you weren't invited. Get out of here.
Yeah, so, he did. He did say that.
The tolerant left is always so
the tolerant left.
Peaceful.
But what surprised me, and I don't even know when and where we air here. I have no clue. I mean, they're not counted in the ratings, but based on showing up, if every leftist in England knows who I am, I'm just
wondering. Well, they listen on your podcast, which is available on iTunes. It's in the top 10 conservative podcasts in the country.
Well, if they listen to the radio show, they don't necessarily know what I look like.
Oh, they all knew who you were.
They all knew. I mean, yeah. And I had glasses on, too.
There's this unbelievable thing. It's called Google.
Uh-huh. It's a new invention.
You can put anybody's name in there.
You know what my doctor says? So, like, I'll say, I looked this up. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this little minor ailment. That's what he says. He goes, you know, I've been doing this my whole life, and I really don't need your input from Dr. Google.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm a lot better than Dr. Google. Why don't you just call me first instead of thinking that you're dying of cancer in the next 16 hours?
No, I do agree with that. I mean, if you go on Google or WebMD,
absolutely. You can't even do that. You just got to ignore that stuff. But that's how they know you. I mean, they know you from social media. I mean, these were young people.
They knew me from the TV show.
Oh, I know that.
They're
watching on social media.
Remember, they can watch the show on
From
on
London,
the
it's the Sean Hannity Show. We got a big show. Andy McCarthy, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, and Nigel Farage. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Sean Hannity Show. We're in London. We'll be in Helsinki on Monday, where the President, Vladimir Putin, have their big summit. Earlier today, we're out in the midst of these crazy protesters, anti-Trump protesters in London. Shockingly, a lot of them knew who I was, and we'll air that video. We'll actually play some of the audio. Linda went out on the streets as well when Nigel Farage joins us later in the program today. Back to the Rosenstein saying 12 Russian intel officers were indicted. Well, remember, it was Barack Obama that said no serious intelligent person could ever believe that anybody would be able to impact our elections. Yeah, that was him. He said it just before the election. And
there
Donald
is no
Trump
serious
needs to stop whining.
Person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections, in part because they're so decentralized and the numbers of votes involved. There's no evidence that that has happened in the past or that there are instances in which that will happen this time. And so I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
So with that announcement by Rod Rosenstein, let me tell you something. There is no way the Russians are ever going to allow their intelligence officials, their spies, to come over and face charges in the United States. Now, look. I would like to know who hacked Hillary's server. Was it Iran? Was it North Korea? Was it the Chinese? Was it the Russians? You know, one of the reasons that would love to have Julian Assange knows where he got his emails from. And supposedly it said apparently they were trying to work out some deal with the Obama administration. Been reading at some point. And that was killed by James Comey, according to reports. But wouldn't it be nice to know if he could tell us exactly where he got the information from? Because when I interviewed him, he said it wasn't a state. It wasn't Russia. It wasn't a state. It would be good for the American people to know. Remember, he's now in his mid-40s. He first hacked into the DOD and NASA when he was like 17 years old. So here we are, you know, 30 years later, and we're still allowing people to hack into everything. And any privacy we have, where are the, I think we have 250,000 IT professionals working for our government, and they can't prevent our government from getting hacked repeatedly. And that's why, you know, it was so dangerous what Hillary did, which was the heart of the Strzok hearing yesterday. Lisa Page is now testifying, but behind closed doors, because it was so important. Why? Because we want to know who hacked into Hillary's case, Hillary's, you know, mom and pop shop bathroom server. Even Strzok and Comey, in their original draft, had said as many as six foreign intelligence services had hacked into Hillary's email. Well, then that puts sources and methods, lives in jeopardy. And that's not good for the United States. And everybody complains, well, what was that, Vault 7? I never even read any of that. Who can read? I don't know anything technically anyway. I couldn't. If I was responsible for engineering this show, forget it. You'd never hear it. It's never going to happen. So it's just stuff. But we do have people that are professional enough that you would think we'd be able to defend ourselves against cyber attacks. You know, Obama says that. Everybody here acts so outraged that the United States, that Russia's trying to impact our elections. I'd like to know what we do to other countries. Because if we're not doing the same thing to them, we ought to be doing the same thing. Not to Israel like Obama did. Nobody really seemed to care that Barack Obama literally tried to impact the election of our closest ally in the Middle East. He did. Doesn't even dispute it. So you have what is really just a sham indictment here, because it would be like Russia indicting 12 CIA operatives and asking to put them on trial. And it does raise the specter of the timing of all of this in light of the fact the president is having this summit with Vladimir Putin coming up next week. I'd like to know why the timing seems somewhat suspect. I don't know if the president signed off on this or not, but it's like the bot indictments. Okay, I don't doubt it. What about, I'd like to know what the Chinese have been involved in terms of hacking. I'd like to know what the North Koreans have been involved in terms of hacking. I'd like to know what the Iranians have been involved in terms of hacking. And it seems that the only thing they want to find, they want to be able to find anything with the word Russia in it at this point. Because Trump-Russia collusion, well, that's something that they haven't been able to find any information on. None whatsoever. And Democrats want the president to cancel his summit. Well, there's no allegation in this indictment that any American knew that they were corresponding with any Russian. No allegation in the indictment that any American citizen committed any crime. No allegation that, in fact, it altered the votes in this country. So basically, nothing's changed. Except we all, you know, if we would have listened to people like Devin Nunes, we would have been in a much better position. But of course, we don't listen to people like Devin Nunes because Barack Obama was president. This all happened on his watch. Didn't happen on Donald Trump's watch. Happened on Putin's watch. Anyway, I'm not going to rehash all the hearings yesterday, but there is some interesting developments as it relates to the president and his ongoing battle with the fake news industry. First, he gave an interview with The Sun and said in this joint press conference, CNN got, you know, Jim Acosta, who's the worst of the worst, and he's got an abusive bias on his part. Anyway, so the president was going to take a question from Jim Acosta, and he said, no, we don't talk to fake news. Here's what he said.
So it's not an easy negotiation.
Mr. President, since you attacked CNN, can I ask you a question?
John Roberts, go ahead, John.
Can I ask you a question?
No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network. John, let's go.
Well, we're a real network too, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Well, we've got the greatest hits of Jim Acosta. Maybe I'll play them on TV tonight. Because Jim Acosta is hostile to the president. Jim Acosta has an agenda, and Jim Acosta is obviously biased. So why should the president bother taking his question? Because it's all basically to fit his predetermined narrative. By the way, this is a Sean Hannity show alert. Republicans are actually doing something smart. I mean, besides the Freedom Caucus, they do something smart pretty much every day. But you know that the Democrats have been out there campaigning that they want to abolish ICE. Basically, they want open borders. Goes to the heart of what my argument is, that they don't have any vision for the future of the country. And 2018 is about impeaching Trump, open borders, keeping Obamacare, wanting their crumbs back, and not wanting the president to have a choice to pick the Supreme Court justice of that he wants. Anyway, GOP House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy is saying the Democrats, they're going to get their chance to abolish all interior immigration enforcement officers before the 2018 midterm elections. Now the people that have actually put forward the bills are saying that they don't want the vote. Oh, so it's basically a show to say we're really against ICE, but if put to the task of standing up for what they say they believe in, that's not something they actually want to do. They're not involved in doing that part. Anyway, let's get to some calls here. We're in London. I think you'll enjoy the video from earlier today when I went out amongst the protesters. We'll start with Martha is in Winchester, Virginia. Martha, how are you? Welcome to London and welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean, I've been hearing you talk about your insomnia for such a long time. And I just wanted you to know that as a fellow sufferer, I went through 7.5 years of I couldn't sleep, zombie mama. It was awful. One of the things that helps me was a massage technique. And I'm a massage therapist now. That's one of the reasons, because this helped me so much. And I would like to tell you about it if I can.
Okay, but I just want to say, I don't just say this, my pillow has changed my life. And I do sleep better because I don't know why. It's just my head like falls into this and it's like heaven. It makes a very big difference for me. But I'm not the best sleeper and I don't really want to spend most of my waking hours sleeping. I figure I'll do that when I'm dead. There'll be plenty of sleeping then.
There are some spots on your jaw, at the corner of your eye, at the base of your neck, your skull, and on your neck. And you don't have to lie down on a table without clothes on. You can sit in a chair and have somebody do this. If I could send you a diagram or just an overview, would you be interested in reading it and learning about it?
I appreciate your kindness. I really do. I'm not one of those people that loves massages. Remember when I gave Velma I'm going to give it to her now every Christmas and every birthday, Velma from Vegas, and I sent her to get a massage and the mani and the pedi and the this and the that. I'm not a massage person. I don't like strangers touching me. So I think that would make me more tense and more awake. Why are you laughing? Why?
I can't picture this being your thing, but we would be more than happy to look into it. Linda and I need a massage.
Oh, you guys want one. Okay. Well, we'll send you, if you want to, we actually have a free day tomorrow. You guys can go out to whatever spa day you want. Oh, look at Linda. Oh, Linda's into that.
Sounds good.
All right. While you're doing that, I'll go to the Winston Churchill War Museum because that's where I'm going to be.
Oh, that was great. I was already there. It was great.
Anyway, I do appreciate your concern. Thank you, Martha. That's very nice of you. Tanya is in Texas. Hey, Tanya, how are you? Welcome to London.
Hi, Sean. Thank you. Love you and your team. I'm a young blonde anesthetist who loves President Trump, but I can't even wear a Make America Great Again t-shirt here in Texas for fear of being accosted by the local tolerant liberals. Why are the left so hypocritical and hostile?
Well, I just experienced it. I mean, all I did was go into a crowd of protesters, anti-Trump protesters here in London today, and the level of hostility towards me, I mean, it was palpable. This is how it's always been. The intolerance now is the left. The intolerance, you know, look at Secretary Nielsen, look at Pam Bondi, look at the intolerant Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I mean, she's with her kids, for crying out loud. Leave the woman alone. And others, so many other people. And it's happening more and more. I'm just not going to live my life intimidated. Look, I'll be very, very blunt. Most of my team did not want me to go into this London protest today. I faced strong opposition. And after the strong opposition, I just said, we're going. That's it. Linda went down, but nobody knew who Linda was, but she just, and Linda actually did it a little differently than I did. She acted like she was on their side. So how do we do this? How do we get rid of Trump? She was asking them, and they still can't answer the question. Look, at the end of the day, I do think human beings have a capacity to recognize, understand sincerity, honesty, and truth when they see it. And we've got to hope that there's more people that love truth rather than lies. And if they want to shut us down, silence us, et cetera, we just can't allow that, because then we lose ourselves, we lose our country, and we lose everything that so many other people fought for. So it's really not an option. And I know a lot of people don't like confrontation. I don't have any problem with confrontation at all. And when a guy came by and tried to push me from behind, I literally started, "Oh, hello, hey, come back here, let's go." And he ran like a little baby that he was. Ran away. Big, courageous guy. Tanya, thank you. Joey is in Atlanta, News Talk WSB. What's going on, Joey? How are you, my friend? Welcome to London.
I'm doing good. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
So these indictments that came from the Rob Rosenstein or Steen, I believe that the timing on this is imperative because, of course, Trump is going to meet with Putin soon. And I feel like that just gives the left or the media, one and the same, the ability to set the narrative for Trump and say that if you don't talk to Trump or when he gets back or whatever, you didn't talk to Trump, you didn't talk to Putin about these indictments and how you wanted to extract these people so they can get set on trial here in America. And
I would assume
like
the president will talk about it. Yeah, but listen, the timing is suspect and it's dubious. I do think the president probably was given a heads up about it. I'll look into it later. And if he was, he probably would have had the ability to stop it because he has that power. But he probably didn't care. And I think if I'm Vladimir Putin, the thing I would fear the most out of this week is the president saying to Angela Merkel, "You're being really stupid and you're compromising your national security by importing 70% of your energy needs from Vladimir Putin and a hostile regime known as Russia." And I also think what the president very cleverly was doing, that very few seem to pick up on, was point out that America has the natural gas energy resources that could take care of all of Europe without the security threat. So that would be devastating to Vladimir Putin. Probably would be the end of his regime, actually.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how is Trump other than a Melania? Trump is a disaster. I have no idea how destabilizing his presidency would be.
Repeat that again.
No, he's not. We'll stop it. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. What the F happened to our country, Lise?
Okay, read it again that way.
Sir, did you not? Was
yep,
not
I just
intelligible?
Wanted to hear it
you
one
just
more
want
time.
To hear it? For yep. me to repeat it.
Please.
Okay, sir. Sure. Happy to indulge you. I can't pull away. What the F happened to our country, Lise?
You said you did not personally receive documents from Mr. Orr, but the FBI did. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you also said the FBI got documents from a different source in mid-September. Different source than whom?
Different source from Mr. Orr. It was not Mr. Orr who provided the initial documents that I became aware of in mid-September.
So Mr. Orr did not hand you the dossier?
That's... Mr. Orr didn't hand me anything. Mr.
FBI.
Orr provided information to the FBI that included material that is what everybody's calling the dossier. Reporting
from Mr. Steele. Say that again. Say that sentence again. Mr. Orr provided what?
He provided some elements of reporting that my understanding is originated from Mr. Steele.
So Bruce Orr did give the FBI information relative to the dossier?
Yes.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, as we continue from London. Where do you see the video tonight on Hannity? Yeah, I actually went down in that crazy London protest right in the heart of it, right in the middle of it. Got a little testy at times, but we handled ourselves pretty well. That, of course, what you just heard was some of the testimony from the ever so arrogant, pompous and narcissistic Peter Strzok, who I would argue is in a lot more trouble today than he was yesterday. Behind closed doors, his girlfriend, Lisa Page, is to be meeting all day with congressional investigators. When we get new information on that, we'll bring it to you. One of the big developments is what you just heard there, and that had to do with Bruce and Nellie Orr. Nellie Orr worked on the so-called dossier, and, of course, it was Bruce Orr handing it over to the FBI, and now, of course, it was unverified. Then it was used to obtain a warrant to spy on a Trump campaign associate. based on unverified, uncorroborated, bought and paid for, foreign national put together, funneled money with Russian lies and Russian government lies. I know everybody's making a big deal about the indictments today of what, 12 Russians. Okay, well, that's really interesting. But the problem is, and the headline is Rod Rosenstein says 12 Russian intel officers are indicted by the special counsel's office. Well, number one, there's no allegation the indictment had any Americans knew that they were corresponding with Russians. It has nothing to do with anything involving the Trump campaign. No allegation in the indictment that any American citizen committed a crime. No allegation a conspiracy changed the vote count or any of these things. It just seems to me that Robert Mueller and Rod Rosenstein want to once again, like they did the last time, get the word Russia out there. And then when they actually challenge him in court, they don't want to allow discovery to the Russians that they charged. So what's the point except the show? Anyway, we continue from London, and Sarah Carter has been on the ground with us. She'll be with us in Helsinki on Monday. Also joining us, investigative reporter and Greg Jarrett. His book is coming out. It is called The Russia Hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. Let's start with the summary of yesterday, and Lisa Page is in today, and what do you think of these indictments, Greg Jarrett?
Well, I find it very entertaining to watch CNN's take on this. They put Adam Schiff on the air, who's the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, and he all but indicted and impeached President Trump over this indictment today. At one point in time, he starts going off on some crazy hypothetical of Trump being taken away in handcuffs. I mean, and Dana Bash speculating, she's an anchor there at CNN, speculating that there would inevitably be indictments of Trump campaign associates. Nowhere in this indictment, I've read it thoroughly, does it suggest that. There is no connection to Donald Trump. There's no connection to the Trump campaign. But, you know, if you allow Democrats like Schiff and liberal media like Dana Bash to have at it, they'll condemn Donald Trump for if he coughs or sneezes.
Yeah, I mean, and Sarah, that's the whole point here, that, you know, the last indictment against these bot companies of Russia, they never thought that they'd show up in court, meaning Robert Mueller and his team. They showed up in court. They've written stinging indictments against the special counsel. Special counsel doesn't even want to give them simple discovery because they weren't prepared for the Russian bot companies to defend themselves, and they're getting brutalized in a courtroom. And my prediction is they may end up dropping the charges.
That's right, because it was all for theater, right? It was to bring Russia into the picture to make it look like, okay, we've done something here. And you're right, Robert Mueller was stunned. He was surprised. Jenny Ri, who was handling that case, was stunned and surprised, and it opened it up for discovery. I say let it go forward, just like the Russian company wants. Let them open up for discovery, have Mueller turn over everything they have, and now we have this indictment, 12 GRU, intelligence agents from Russia. There is no way anything is going to happen with this. This is not the first time the Russians have happened.
So that would be like, well, first of all, Devin Nunes, because nobody disputes that the Russians wanted to influence our elections.
Absolutely.
Devin Nunes warned about it in a Washington Times piece back in 2014 that it's going to happen. It was just before the election, if we're going to be accurate here, that Barack Obama was saying no serious person would ever think that any outside entity could influence our elections. And he didn't lift a finger, even though he was warned by Nunes and others that this would happen. This all happened on his watch, not on Donald Trump's watch.
Absolutely.
So I guess the next question is, all right, so where do we go with that, Greg Jarrett? I mean, sounds to me, are they going to allow discovery if, in fact, lawyers? It would be like the Russians indicting CIA agents in Russia. Are we ever going to allow the American CIA agents to go on trial in Russia or extradite them to Russia? It's never happening.
Well, I assume that none of the 12 defendants in today's indictment are anywhere near the United States, and we don't have an agreement with them for extradition. So it's easy to file an indictment. Proving a case is actually hard, as Robert Mueller has found out, because several months ago, when he indicted other Russians and companies associated with them, He figured he'd never have to prove his case. It's really easy. I'll just render the indictment and brag about it. Well, what he didn't expect was that a company that is actually named in that indictment had counsel make an appearance on their behalf and started asking for documents and discovery. And all of a sudden, Mueller didn't know what to do. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? So he starts assigning lawyers from the Department of Justice and borrowing them to try to do his job because he didn't know how to do it.
An 80-page stinging rebuttal. It was a Mueller beatdown, which I'm sure you read. Let's go back to yesterday. We don't know what's happening with Lisa Page yet. I'm sure we'll be getting some leaks coming out shortly. I would love to see Lisa Page and Peter Strzok actually at the same hearing and let them answer questions together and see, well, did you know what this meant? Did you know what this meant? What did you think when you said, you know, he's a loathsome, or we're going to stop him, or we want an insurance policy? So my question is, what were the biggest parts of yesterday? And do you think, Sarah Carter, that Peter Strzok now finds himself in trouble?
Oh, I certainly think he finds himself in trouble. And I think Jim Jordan's questioning of him was very telling and very important, that he did not want to explain how he received those copies of the dossier. I think that's the crux of a lot of this. And Lisa Page is going to have some of those answers. Because remember, she's just not a regular FBI agent. She was general counsel. She was working directly with McCabe and Comey. I mean, who was she meeting with? Who was she talking to? How did she play a role in this beyond just the text messages that we've seen? Those are the questions they're going to be asking.
Well, I mean, where did she get a copy of all of these?
That's right.
Was there somebody deep within the deep state that might have handed it over
Another agency? Maybe there were people involved in collecting that information.
What would be the NSA or the CIA?
Possibly the CIA. Maybe the NSA. I mean, because remember, they were listening in on these conversations. This was not all about the FBI. There was a lot of evidence that much of this was happening in Great Britain early on, before July 31st, before the FBI actually says they opened the investigation. There was a lot of things happening on the ground right here in London that they were collecting information. Who knows? Were they sharing information with the United States? Was MI6 sharing information? Was GCHQ collecting telephone calls or information on people within the Trump administration or back then during the Trump campaign and then sharing that with the United States? I think these are questions that Congress wants to know.
Let's go back to yesterday and your thoughts on Strzok. Beyond being extraordinarily arrogant and pompous and narcissistic, and I think the thing that he must really think we're really dumb, smelly people that go to Walmart, because nobody can believe a single word that came out of his mouth. I know I certainly didn't. Your thoughts, Greg Jarrett?
Well, he was smug and pompous, a constant smirk that was stapled onto his face for hours. He was insufferable and incorrigible, the personification of the arrogance of power and corruption. But the critical point he was asked, he sat down at his computer and changed Comey's statement that Hillary Clinton was grossly negligent, which is a crime. He changed it to extremely careless. So what did he say yesterday when asked by Congressman Sensenbrenner about that? He said, oh, you know, I don't specifically recall that. But he did say that Comey made the decision to change the wording. Well, that's interesting, because Comey told the inspector general that he doesn't recall the original draft where he wrote gross negligence and doesn't recall any of the decisions to change it, doesn't recall discussions about that, even though notes show Comey attended meetings about the change of the wording that exonerated Hillary Clinton and participated in those. So everybody's got amnesia. You know, Strzok doesn't remember changing the words. Comey doesn't remember writing the words. And this was the crux of the case. If he'd stuck with his original findings that she committed gross negligence, she would have been indicted 110 times because there were 110 classified emails on her unauthorized private computer service. So nobody can remember.
Well, and are there any crimes here that you see?
Oh, I do see. Look, it is a crime if you're an FBI agent or FBI director to clear somebody in the face of overwhelming evidence of guilt for political reasons. It's called obstruction of justice. And then to use a knowingly fabricated, unverified document to spy on somebody through a warrant, that's abuse of power. That's a federal felony crime. And then, of course, leaking stolen presidential memorandums, which Comey did, some of which contain classified information, those are crimes. So, you know, the law enforcers became the lawbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
But who? Who will enforce this action? I mean, who's going to charge them with crimes? And we have a DOJ, sorry to say, but the Department of Justice under Attorney General Jeff Sessions doesn't appear to be doing anything. We got Rod Rosenstein now with this silly indictment against 12 GRU intelligence agents from Russia. When? Think about the timing here. Right before the president goes to meet with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, they indict 12 Russian intelligence agents that they'll never be able to get here in the United States. You know, the only thing that smells, as Peter Strzok likes to put it, the only thing that smells is their big fat lies. Mm-hmm. That's what smells here.
Well, it's just, when does everyone get held accountable, which is everything that we've wondered and talked about. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. More with Sarah, more with Greg. Don't forget Greg's book now. We're about 8 days away from its release. Go to Hannity.com, Amazon.com. Andy McCarthy, Nigel Farage all coming up today. And 800-941-SEAN from London. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, final thoughts as we continue before we get to Andy McCarthy at the bottom of this hour. Sarah Carter. Okay, so now we've got Lisa Page today. What are we going to find out?
I think they're going to be very curious about Lisa Page's involvement. As I said before, they're going to want to know the scope. They're going to want to know, one, how involved was she, general counsel? She was general counsel to McCabe. What was his involvement? Did she have access to the dossier? Did she have any meetings with people on the Hill? Did she meet with other people from other agencies? How was she involved in this?
All right, we got to give Greg the last word, then we got to move on. Greg?
Lisa Page will be asked today about changing the wording that exonerated Hillary Clinton. She told the IG, quote, "to use a term that actually has a legal definition would be confusing," end quote. Well, it most certainly would. How do you exonerate Clinton under gross negligence if the very phrase is used to describe her behavior? It was a clever legal charade conjured to exculpate and clear Hillary Clinton. It was a scheme by all of these people, Strzok and Page and Comey and McCabe.
The fix was in. Your title captures it. The Russia hoax, the illicit scheme to, well, let Hillary go free and, of course, go after Donald Trump. It's out in less than a week and a half now. Greg Jarrett, thank you for being with us. Sarah Carter, thank you. We'll be Monday in Helsinki. When we come back from London, Andy McCarthy joins us, and we'll talk about the indictment from today and whether it's meaningful or not. That and, of course, I meet the London protesters straight ahead. That's on Hannity tonight. 5 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN as we wrap this week up in London tonight on Hannity. We went out in the middle of the protest, and kind of shocking to me, everybody here in London knew who I was. Got a little tense for the team that I was around. Security was a little nervous. They didn't like that we stayed out as long as we did. We only had one little minor incident. Minor. Wasn't that bad. All right. Andy McCarthy, National Review Online, is with us. Andy, how are you? Good to talk to you. Wish you were here with us.
Sean, it's great to be with you. I'm here in bucolic New Jersey, so it's not nearly as as cool as the life you lead.
Yeah, listen, it was very strange. By the way, every one of the people that I interviewed here, they're all wasted. And you ask them, well, why are you protesting? Trump is mad, bad, bad. He's full of hate. Give me an example. He's hateful. And then they're like, all right, I don't have anything else to say. That's about the extent of the conversation you get. And it was the funniest part was one guy goes, I know you. It's you. And he's like, it was funny. And I did have one cute moment.
Was it a good at you or a bad at you?
It was like, holy, it's you. And it was one of those. He goes, what are you doing in the middle of our protest? It was one guy that goes, I want you to know, I don't agree with the thing you say, but you're welcome here. You're welcome here. And I'm like, thank you. And he had a cute little daughter. We actually had a cute moment with her. Let me start with, we had a previous indictment of these Russian bot companies, And I don't think that Robert Mueller and his team were ready for the fact that those bot companies were going to, in fact, fight back. And I've never heard of a case, maybe you can help me out as a former prosecutor, involved in the Blind Shake case, for example, where you're going to make charges against somebody, but you're really not expecting them to respond. And then when they respond, you're saying, well, we're not going to allow discovery in the case. That's not how the system works. And now we got Rosenstein saying 12 Russian intel officers are indicted, which, by the way, I've always believed Russia's trying to influence our elections. Devin Nunes wrote about it in 2014. And of course, Obama said no intelligent person would believe they could impact our elections, but he was impacting the elections in Israel. But what do you make of this? To me, it seems like they just want to get the word Russia into the mix to make it sound nefarious, and none of it's connected to Donald Trump or his team.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the way the indictment reads, Sean, and it's obvious that they went out of their way not to make the mistake that they made the last time. So all of the dozen who are charged today, who are named, are all individuals, that is to say people, not companies. And that's important because the likelihood that somebody is going to show up and demand a trial, as that Kremlin front company did in the Troll Farm case, is really nil. I mean, that's not going to happen. So
that raises these cases, Sean, where
they're never going to get somebody in a U.S. courtroom for trial. To make this as much like a political document as it is a legal charging instrument, in the sense that they'll never really have to prove it in court. I don't mean to suggest, just like you did not mean to suggest, I don't mean to suggest that I have any doubt that the Russians did this. My only point is that, it's one thing to say that you can draw with confidence in an intelligence report that the Russians did this. It's quite another thing to prove it in court beyond a reasonable doubt. And I don't think Mueller will ever have to do that. The main thing I was concerned about when I heard about this today was, did the president get briefed on it? Because the timing of it is very peculiar to do it right before he sits down with Putin.
Well, is it peculiar or was it done on purpose?
Well, it sounds like the president was briefed on it, which means he could have ordered them not to do it. So, the question is, were they trying to force the president's hand or were they trying to strengthen his hand? And, maybe in some way, since he was obviously, he knew this was going to happen before it did, could have told them not to do it. I assume that means it strengthens his hand somewhat going into the conversation with Putin. I think it would be an awful thing. It would be a firing offense if you pulled something like this with the timing of something like this and didn't give the president a heads up before something as important as Monday.
Do you think ultimately that the bot company case has to get dropped because they don't want to allow discovery?
I think the case against the company gets dropped. And maybe that means the case against all three companies. I don't know that they have to completely dismiss the indictment. They probably leave it intact against the individuals. But I don't think that case is ever going to get tried against the company.
And so, in other words, it seems to me that after a year and a half and they didn't find any evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, that what we are left with is, we know this, Andy, because remember the original draft of the exoneration of Hillary that Peter Strzok and James Comey were working on. This is in early May of 2016. They didn't interview her or 17 other key witnesses till July, but it also, not only did it have the legal standard gross negligence, which was changed to extreme carelessness, but it also mentioned that foreign entities had hacked into Hillary Clinton's email server, where we know top secret classified information was being stored, which is a violation of the Espionage Act. But we know, and it's likely that at least six, according to them, and they just took it out, and I think that's part of the assist that they gave Hillary, when she should have been indicted. But isn't it likely that Russia, that China, North Korea, Iran, and other countries got into her server too? And why aren't they going after them? Because it doesn't fit their narrative?
Yeah, right. Well, at least one of them, for sure. And I think Comey, as much as he came as close to admitting that in the July 5th press conference as you could come without just coming right out and saying it. So whether that's actually being investigated We certainly haven't heard any indication of it from the Justice Department. And again, I think it underscores the point that we're making here, which is if you're returning indictments that you don't think you're ever going to have to prove in court, these are public relations documents more than charging instruments. And I think it's perfectly fair to draw the conclusion that you're trying to craft a narrative. And the question I have about all this, Sean, is this was under investigation before we had Mueller. And remember, it was Mueller. It was Comey's firing on May 9th of 2017 that triggered Rosenstein to bring Mueller aboard. I look at this indictment today, and one of the reactions I have, the same as I had when I saw the Troll Farm indictment, is why do we need a special counsel for this? I don't see a single reason why the Justice Department couldn't have handled this case.
I think that's a good point in and of itself. What did you think of the testimony of Peter Strzok yesterday? What are the observations you made?
Sean, if you want to do this in a competent way, there's two things that have to happen. Number one, you have to be able to hold people in contempt when they either refuse to answer questions or refuse to produce documents. And you have to have the documents first before you interview the witness so you can force the witness to walk through the documents and get to the bottom of what happened. If you don't have that, you have what we have right now, which is a situation where Strzok gets to tell his part of the story that he chooses to discuss and that the FBI chooses to allow him to discuss. He doesn't answer the questions he doesn't want to talk about, and there's no effective way to cross-examine him because the Justice Department, the FBI, won't give the committee the documents. So I'd want to start holding people in contempt before I went any further with this.
I think, well, if they don't do that, doesn't it mean that anybody that is subpoenaed to appear before Congress, and I know that Lisa Page is doing it behind closed doors today, why would they ever feel compelled to show up, or why would the Department of Justice ever really feel compelled to hand over documents, some of which were requested well over a year ago, when there are no consequences if they don't do it? And, you know, it's just like if there's no consequences, if you delete emails that were subpoenaed and use bleach bit and bust up your devices, you know, I would imagine other people think they can get away with that, too. But I would think that's bad advice to give people.
Yeah, well, look, exactly what you just said, Sean. Look what happened. I mean, Lisa Page played games with them this week, right? And what was the comeuppance? She not only didn't get penalized for it, she not only didn't get held in contempt, she didn't have to have her interview until she could sit for 10 hours and watch Strzok testify. So she knows what the whole script is before she goes in there, and she goes in there with the same FBI lawyers who are going to tell her what questions she can't answer. So if they were playing games like that with me, I would either hold people in contempt, or if the brute fact of life is that I don't have enough votes to help to hold people in contempt, then I'd close up shop until I got the documents. But I don't really.
But the bottom line is
going forward with this.
So we got a joint defense, in other words, and that means they can all get on the same page and basically memorize our lines and say the same thing, and everything should be hunky dory. And meanwhile, they were involved in, I think, rigging an investigation into Hillary. Do you have any doubt Hillary committed these crimes that we talk about and obstructed?
No. I think that she got the sweetheart deal. It's not even a sweetheart deal. She didn't get prosecuted. So, you know, they had a mountain of evidence against her, and they contorted a statute to avoid. Think about that, Sean. With everything else that they did in connection with the investigation, they still had to rewrite the statute in order to rationalize not charging her. I mean, that's how
you mean extreme carelessness instead of gross negligence.
Yeah, well, I also think it was a layup of a straight intent case. I know we're focused in on this changing, and I'm not saying that's insignificant, the changing the document or the changing the standard from gross negligence, which is in the statute, to extreme carelessness, which isn't. But I think that argument obscures something that, to me, as a prosecutor, is even more clear, which is that if I were doing the case, I would have done it as a straight intent case, and then argued to the jury that even if you have any doubt that after she intentionally created this offline system to have all our communications under circumstances where she knew like 80% of her job as Secretary of State was going to be classified information, even if you don't think she did that willfully, your fallback position is you can get her on gross negligence. But I still think it was a straight intent case.
Our friend Andy McCarthy is with us, Fox News contributor, National Review Online. I'm watching what's happening to Paul Manafort. Let me go back to Judge Ellis and what he had said at one point, which was they went back to a 2005 tax case that didn't deal with Russia but Ukraine, and literally they're putting the screws to Manafort so he sings or composes, meaning saying something that will get him off the hook that would implicate Trump. For the purpose of either prosecuting or getting the president impeached. And apparently he tried to get in touch with, as I understand it, Andy never did get in touch with a so-called potential witness in this case. They never talked, and the judge threw him in jail, and he had been up to this week spending 23 hours in solo confinement in jail. Sounds to me like that's a bit of an overreach. What are your thoughts?
Sean, I've never heard in a white-collar case of somebody being denied bail prior to trial under circumstances where everybody understands because of his notoriety, as a practical matter, if you put him in custody, you have to put him in solitary. So it seems to me that there's about 8 million ways that you could, if you wanted to, give him home confinement where you cut off contact with phones and computers if that's what you're worried about. But why he has to be in custody pre-trial in a non-bail situation in a white-collar case, it's astonishing to me.
And he has an ankle bracelet, so he can't be a flight risk, right?
Well, I was never crazy about the ankle bracelets because sometimes that just means you're the first one to know the guy left, right? But I do think that what they're worried about, apparently, because remember, he was on bail and he had very high bail conditions, millions of dollars that were posted.
Yeah.
And they were satisfied that he wouldn't take off. So the issue now is, will he tamper with witnesses? And if that's what they're worried about, I think you could put him in home confinement and cut off
right.
his ability to have communications except when he's talking to his lawyers preparing for trial. Now they have him in a jail setting where, as I understand it, it's even a couple of hours for his lawyers to have to come to visit him to get ready.
I'm going to have to leave it there. Andy McCarthy, great writing. You've been doing great work on all of this. Also, welcome to the Fox News family. We appreciate it. We'll take a break from London. When we come back, Nigel Farage checks in with us. Huge London protest today. We were out there in the middle of it. We'll play some of that sound coming up next.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
Okay, so tell me why you're protesting.
We
believe in human rights and everyone should be allowed to have a good quality of life.
Okay.
And not be separated by walls.
Okay.
That's
and how do you feel about what's happening here in Britain, like with Brexit? You know, there was a big shakeup.
Oh, incredibly unhappy
really
about Brexit
it.
As well. I think we all voted.
What is the deal with May? Is she in or is she out with Brexit?
Theresa May. I'm not entirely sure.
Because last week, didn't the guy who was part of Brexit leave?
Boris Johnson.
Yes, Boris Johnson, thank you.
David Davis.
Oh, yeah, David Davis resigned.
He was the chairman of Brexit.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that she's really...
No one knows what's happening.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was like she played them.
No.
She was Team Remain.
She
was trying to get them in line and like no one's really playing ball, so
no one wants to do it.
So it's just, I don't think anyone really wants us to leave. I think it's just, you know...
Stay in the EU, remain.
Of the amount of referendums that have been held, and like it's just opinion, it doesn't have to be made into law,
right?
Or like actual parliamentary law. So I think it's such a shame. But.
And then, how long have people been planning this? Because we've only been here a couple days, but this is clearly well organized.
I think it's been
as soon as it got announced.
Yeah.
So, what happens? Is it like a Facebook thing? Is it a Twitter thing? So, it's all social. Okay, so tell me why you're protesting.
I'm protesting because Trump is the worst human being alive ever. So we're here just to say that we don't agree with him, we don't really like him being here, and yeah, just to make a stance against everything he stands for.
Now you have a very
clear sign. It looks like a murderer made it with those cutout letters. But other than that, I'm okay with it. So tell me why you're protesting.
Well, it's all this decay, but yeah, just the fact that he is the worst president ever. He's destroying the relationships between the UK.
How do you feel about Theresa May?
Oh, it's not Theresa May.
Like, do you think she's as bad as Trump?
No.
Okay. And then how do you feel about Boris Johnson and Dave Davis leaving?
I think it's good that they left.
Yeah.
I think that they've got their own agenda.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's their way of undermining Theresa May, which in a situation that we're in at the moment, an unstable situation, I just think that it's quite self-aware.
So now let me ask you guys a question. Get close. What do you think would be the next best step?
For
Trump. We clearly hate Trump.
Yeah.
So what do we do to get rid of him?
Impeachment.
Impeachment. Sure.
But I don't know if they can get something to stick.
All right. That was Linda. She went down for radio in the midst of those protests. It got a little more heated when I went down. There was actually a big surprise to me, and we're going to air this tonight on Hannity. Oh, nobody's going to know me down there. And every single person at this protest recognized me. I was really surprised. Nigel Farage is with us, European Parliament member, Fox News contributor, and, of course, the leader in the Brexit movement and a friend of the show. So I go down there, and, well, it was getting a little tense down there. So they didn't particularly like me. I had no idea I was that well known here in Great Britain, but apparently I am. It was surprising. Not a lot of people didn't particularly like me, and I don't think they'd particularly like you either as the leader of Brexit, at least this particular crowd.
No, they absolutely hate me. And in fact, I've been dodging them all day. I was even dragged out of a building through the fire escape later on when they found out where I was. But, you know, did you notice the accents of all of the people in that crowd? They're all upper middle class with rich mummies and daddies. They've all got names like Jocasta or Hugo or Sebastian. None of them actually work. I mean, really, you know, they're the least representative group of the British people I've ever come across. And they're the same people that attend the anti-Brexit marches and all the rest of it. I honestly, please, in America, don't take it too seriously.
It wasn't as big as they had anticipated. It was, and here's the thing that I can tell you is when I asked people, well, what don't you like about Donald Trump? They had no answer. They just, and every single person, and I'm not making this up that I talked to, because I have to get close to them. They were absolutely drunk and wasted. So it seemed more like a party than anything else to me. And when I'd ask him about Donald Trump, well, he doesn't want open borders. And I'm like, why should we have open borders? We're a nation of laws. And it wasn't like the most intelligent crowd. It seemed like a lot of people there for the party.
You know, as you say, it's a day out and quite a lot of dilated pupils, if you know what I mean. All sorts of substances being used. No, I mean, we've just had wall-to-wall negativity in this country about Donald Trump. Very, very few people out there putting the positive case. And remember, amongst our political figures, Sean, I was literally the only one that congratulated him and supported him during the presidential campaign. So they've just had it drip-fed into them that somehow this guy is the most evil, sexist, racist person on earth. As you say, when you ask them, they can't tell you why.
All right, let me ask about Theresa May and what's going on with Boris Johnson. Does Theresa May hang on as prime minister? And is the president right that she really has wrecked Brexit, which she said earlier today is going to happen in 2019?
Well, it's remarkable. Somebody must wind her up at the back. She must actually be a robot, not a human being, because she keeps on coming out with this phrase, you know, we're leaving the European Union, we're taking back control of our borders, our laws, our money, and you know, you just want to cheer. And then you see the detail of what she does, and she betrays every single aspect of this. Whether she thinks just by lying to us, somehow she can get away with it, I don't know. I will tell you, I'm convinced of one thing. If she remains as Prime Minister, we will not get the Brexit that we voted for. And I'm very interested that a piece of polling out this afternoon shows that 51% of people think Donald Trump was right to criticise her over Brexit. And I've just got everything crossed that she's got rid of pretty blooming quickly.
Well, what about Boris Johnson? Does he have a chance?
Well, Boris is Boris, who President Trump called my great friend. It's worth remembering that Boris was very disparaging about Trump in the election campaign. Mm-hmm. But hey, time moves on. Boris did back Brexit. You know, he came to the party very late, but he did back Brexit. You know, he's now resigned as Foreign Secretary. He is making a speech in the House of Commons, a resignation speech on Monday. And I think it is from that speech that people will decide whether he looks like the next Prime Minister or not. Hey, I'd rather have him than Theresa May any day.
Let me ask you, so the president first met in Brussels with NATO leaders, and from the get-go, the opening breakfast, the president was brutally honest, and that is that the other NATO nations, aligned nations, are not paying their fair share. And here's the United States paying the bulk of money of the $1 billion that they spend every year on NATO. Well, we pay in the United States over $700 billion of it. By the way, Great Britain's paying their fair share. It was supposed to be 2%. They pay over that. They're the next highest in terms of actual dollars and amount, but it's significantly less. I think it's about $61.5 billion. And then you have Germany. That's one of the main reasons for the alliance is they want to prepare against hostile nations like Russia. And unfortunately, you have the German chancellor that's making, you know, these billions and billions and billions of dollars of energy deals where they're allowing themselves to become 70% dependent on the lifeblood of the German economy. Why would we do that? Especially when you have somebody like the United States, we have an abundance of natural gas that we would gladly export over to our friends in Western Europe.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the NATO thing's been going wrong for a long, long time. Way too much freeloading going on. And there's a different dimension to this, too, which nobody talks about, which is, of course, that the European Union itself intends to build its own army, its own air force, its own navy. And it's deluding itself that it can do it on 1% of GDP, not 2%. So there are quite a few big clashes going on here. But I think Trump was absolutely right to say what he said. I wish Theresa May had been a bit more fulsome in her support. Whether or not Donald Trump's closing address, where he sort of claimed a great success had happened and the countries were going to pay up, whether or not it does happen, I think still remains to be seen.
Well, the NATO General Secretary actually said they had a record revenue year, in large part because President Trump was demanding that other nations begin to pay their fair share. And if they get in arrears, they're still responsible for the payment.
Yeah, well, let's hope that's the case. And isn't it ironic that so much of the mainstream media says that President Trump somehow is in league with Vladimir Putin? You know, the last thing Putin wants is for NATO to be strong, and Trump, I think, is making it stronger.
You believe that?
No.
Or the media is saying that? No, because I think just the opposite. If you pay very close attention. And it's interesting, we've got some things going on in the United States. You know, the special counsel and Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general. Today they announced the indictment of 12 Russian intelligence officers in the lead up to this, which the timing is very dubious to me. But putting that aside for just a second, if people would listen to what President Trump was saying to Angela Merkel and Germany, he was saying you cannot give over so much control to Vladimir Putin, an unsavory character and a hostile regime in Russia. You can't become 70% dependent on all your energy from them and then, you know, ask us to pay the bulk of monies to protect you if something goes wrong here. And now that America has opened up its vast energy resources, it would be quite easy for Germany to now begin to import a lot of their energy needs from us, probably get a better rate, and also at the end of the day create American jobs, but also would be better for security and the NATO alliance, and it would devastate the Putin economy in the process. I'd be very nervous if I was Vladimir Putin today.
Well, exactly. You know, he wants to take away these billions of dollars the Germans are sending them. He wants NATO to be strong, and I think he's making it stronger. He also, it's worth remembering, did expel a lot of Russian diplomats after the Salisbury Novichok poisoning. You know, just this consistent idea. And we saw it today from some of the questioning. NBC questioning the president today in the UK. There's still this obsessive, crazy idea that somehow Trump colluded with the Russians and is on Vladimir Putin's side. And it's just nonsense.
It's nonsense because he just basically talked about the ability of Germany to wreck the entire Russian economy, which would then put the regime of Putin in jeopardy. Nigel Farage, a great friend of the program. I think we're going to see on Hannity tonight. We look forward to it. And I enjoyed going out amongst the protesters here in London. It was a lot of fun. We'll see you tonight in studio. Thank you for being with us, sir.
See you later. Thank you.
All right, as we get to our busy phones, and sadly we have a goodbye coming up on the radio show. We'll start with Amy in Colorado. Amy, hi, how are you? Welcome to London. Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. They didn't have a baby Hannity balloon, did they?
I didn't see a baby Hannity balloon. One guy came up, and I was doing an interview, and he comes in from behind, and he, like, tries to push me. And then I'm like, well, come on up. Get back. I said, sunshine, right over. And he ran away like a little baby. He's just, you know, one of these guys that I'm like, okay, there were other people really hating on me, though. I mean, you just looking in their face and they're like, why is he here? Anyway, it was kind of fun. We'll show you tonight. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just so embarrassed for Peter Strzok yesterday. He made himself and the FBI look so awful. Just that smirk on his face, how he talked about Trump supporters. And I think the most significant part is where they made him read his own text. And I think he was a little embarrassed to do that. And me, for one, I was offended.
Yeah, listen, I don't think he knew he was embarrassing himself. I'm convinced he believes he is a super patriot. I believe he thinks that he's it. He's the it guy. And that he had a role that he was going to save America and he was going to stop us from the evil Donald Trump. By any means necessary, we'll stop him. And if we don't, we got an insurance policy just in case you're 40 years old and you're, you know, getting an accident, you're about to die. So the evidence is overwhelming. It's incontrovertible. The case is now clear that he's at the heart of the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history. And that is they wanted to steal an election. They tried to steal and rig an election. And then they tried to cover it all up. And bit by bit, piece by piece, we have been exposing it. And it is now pretty much proven. I wish it wasn't the case. How this ever happens in the United States of America is kind of shocking. It shouldn't happen in the United States, but it did. And now we've got to make sure that we prevent it from ever happening again. And the way you do that is to first hold those that were responsible accountable for their actions. And that's what we got to do. All right, when we come back, we're saying goodbye to a member of our radio family here. Not goodbye, but kind of goodbye. It's a bit of sad gladness. We'll explain it when we get back. We're in London. We'll show you me in the middle of the protest in London from earlier today, tonight at 9. Nigel Farage tonight. We'll have the latest Lisa Page testifying today and much more. Hannity, Fox News, the best coverage on television. We hope you'll join us. We'll continue from London. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. Normally here on a Friday, we would do our Friday Florida Georgia Line concert series. We're actually moving in another direction instead of, you know, getting your hands up and getting ready for that summer fun Friday good time. It's with sad gladness, actually, that we have to say goodbye to somebody who's been on this show for a decade. And we've been following the whole story of Lauren, who is the, well, I guess she's the single closest contact person to all of us smelly people from Walmart who are irredeemable deplorables who cling to our God, our guns, our Bibles, our religion, because she takes all the phone calls here on the show. And an interesting, the gladness part is we're happy for her because, well, she's getting married.
Oh, thank you, Sean.
And she is marrying Linda's brother, which means we're going to have another McLaughlin on the show, except she's actually moving out of state very soon, and although fairly close by. We're going to see you a lot.
You know who you have to blame for this, right?
Who?
Linda.
Oh, because she set you up with her brother? You set that up? Wait a minute. I should have known. I've never even asked this question. They got together because of you.
Yeah, well, they kept dating terrible people, and I finally had enough of it, so I thought I'll put them together and kill two birds with one stone.
Kill two birds with one stone.
A very good process for me.
Now, Linda's brother is not exactly like Linda. He's a little calmer, which is good.
Everyone's calmer than me.
Everyone's calmer than you.
As per your announcements this whole week.
Yes, exactly. Well, in a good way.
Wait
a minute. Sarah Carter,
Words.
Sarah Carter, get next to your BFF there. Did I or did I not give Linda and my team the biggest compliments that any boss could ever give their team?
Absolutely. It was huge. She's amazing. She keeps the show going. Okay. She's incredible.
And how was I when it was in the midst of chaos around here and we didn't know if we were getting on the air on Wednesday?
You actually took a step back.
And I said, everything's fine.
You said, everything's fine. Whatever happens, I'm okay with.
That's right. And I put no pressure on anybody.
I actually had a trophy made for you today.
You did not.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you're full of it.
Yeah,
okay.
I put the London flag on it and everything. I said, calmest boss in London.
Well, anyway, back to Lauren. So she's going to get married to Linda's brother in, I believe, August?
September 7th.
September 7th.
Good job. Very close.
It's a national holiday. Uh-huh. Everybody that works for me is getting married.
Considering how much you love weddings, I can't imagine why you didn't have a date.
Yeah, exactly. Not everybody. Jason's still a free man. Oh, I got that. Anyway, and I said this to Lauren privately, and I'll say it publicly, is that she's just a delightful, wonderful, warm individual. You can't not help love Lauren. She is kind, hardworking, just amazingly generous, and we're just going to miss you. I mean, we're always going to be in touch, and you're going to still be a part of the program. I'm sure Linda's not going to let you go that easily. We're happy that you're moving on with this part of your life. It's the best time of your life, and we want you to enjoy every minute of it. And I also want to take the time personally to thank you, as I did privately, but I want to do it publicly, for all you've done for the show and the hard work you put in every day. And nobody on the show ever leaves their desk.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, Linda did that the other day. I never thought it was possible. We did the impossible when we did our going away party for you. And we have that speech on tape, except somebody's not sharing it with anybody else.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
I want that tape.
You're never getting it.
Never getting it. Never.
Well, I just want to thank you, too. I mean, just so you know, I mean, to be honest, I don't know if you know this, but I, as a kid growing up, I have vivid memories of sitting in the back seat of my parents' car with your show on at 3 o'clock and begging my mom to change the channel because I was like, oh, God, not this again. And then as time grew, I realized how much, obviously, the older I got, I guess I got a little bit of wisdom. And I really started to enjoy your show and understood what you spoke about and what you stand for. And it's just been a privilege.
And you're more right-wing than me. Let's be honest. You're really...
Me?
You know, it's... Oh, you're very conservative.
I am, of course.
Yeah. And by the way, there's not one person on the show that really isn't conservative. Because you just can't survive the onslaught of common sense intelligence and every day and sit there as a liberal. You would either melt like the people we met, the protesters today. Anyway, we put this together. I don't know. Have you heard this yet, Lauren?
Surprise.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We put together a little goodbye tape, and you might not remember this, but getting you on the air back in the day was a bit of a chore.
This is a montage of all the best moments of Lauren over the past decade.
You got a lot of good feedback from being on the show yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Everyone was very kind to me.
And people said they have the same fear as you and that it was very brave of you to get on the program and fight through your fear of speaking publicly,
they
right?
They do. You know, it's a bigger fear than death.
What do your parents think about this?
They like it. They told me I need to speak up more because I've always been scared of public speaking. When I was a kid, actually, we have like home videos of me at like school performances, lip syncing the words because I didn't even want to sing out loud.
The number one fear people have is public speaking.
Yes, it's above death. So, if you're public speaking more than death, that says a lot.
You are extremely outgoing in real life, and if people are going to start to pick up on that personality, and then next thing you know, you'll be as irreverent as Jason and Linda, who just, you know, scream at me.
Well, I mean, I don't want to scream at you, but yeah, I'll be a little more feisty. I think that would be a good word. Can I just tell you, I actually got my nails done this weekend. There were 4 men in there all at once.
Well, this is New York
4.
City, right?
Well, I was in New Jersey, but I was a little appalled.
Same thing. Why?
I like manly men. I do. I don't want to see a man getting his nails done.
Look, by the way, today is April Fool's Day, and I played a little trick on Lauren today. All right, Lauren, tell everybody what I did to you.
You were very sweet, and you came up to me and you said, today's the day you're going on TV tonight. And I
was serious about it. I
said, very serious.
And I said, you're going on. I'm not taking no for an answer. Tonight's the night. I told her I'm not going to tell you the day. You're going on tonight.
Yes. The funny thing is that this morning when I remembered, I was like, oh, it's April Fool's. I was like, I will not be fooled today. I will not be fooled. And what happens?
What happens?
You.
Exactly.
You happen.
I happen.
You're killing me.
Lauren's been bringing a new dog treat to the studio. She's a little annoyed with me because I'm teaching Treat new tricks and she doesn't like them.
Treat is a canine companion for independence.
Right.
And she is in training to be service dog.
At least Treat is alive. The last dog you brought in was like half dead. That dog didn't even budge.
Moats was great.
You're all heart, Sean, I'll tell you.
No, the dog didn't even play. I'm like, I want a dog that's live. A dog listens to me more than you and you can't stand it. That's not my fault. Now, if I'm in the same room and it's between me and you, that dog is listening to me.
We're going to test this out for real. I want a videotape.
No,
we weren't really. We didn't do the full effect.
How much do you want to bet? And I'll give you 100-1 odds that I win.
$100.
Well, Sunshine, by the way, Linda's not here today, so Sunshine's filling in. How are you?
Oh, I'm really good. Yeah, I feel great today.
Why does this bother you all the time that I am under attack? Why do you get so upset by this?
I get upset because 99% of the time, I really love you. And I think...
Well, you're filling
in.
I do.
It really does make me upset because I wish people could see the person that you are. And a lot of them don't see that. And it just kind of devastates me that they're able to pick on you and try to destroy you. It really bothers me. And they don't realize what a good person you are and how much you do for other people and how much support you give people and how much encouragement you give people. And yeah, it annoys me and it bothers me. Today, I want to send you that angry face emoji. But usually I would send you a heart.
Listen, I don't ever want you to change because there is a genuine kindness, sweetness, gentleness to you that, and you're fierce in your own way. I'm not dismissing that. But the way you love Treat and the dogs that you're raising for people, service dogs, and don't ever lose that quality. I am not as nice as you. I will never be. I am far more rooted, I think, in a world where I see danger and evil, and I'm just energized to fight for what's right.
I see plenty of that, but I also just recognize how blessed my life is, and I'm not going to get, you know, angry and upset about things that I know I can't change, but I'll try and change the things that I think I can. I'm here on the air. I love you, and I always will love you.
No matter what I say or do right now.
No matter what, Sean.
No matter what. You sure?
I might not like you. Well, I'm still going to love you.
You have about a minute and 30 seconds to make up your mind.
I think I'm going to let it go. You know what? She's probably the only one person on the team that I know doesn't like all of this public. And I'm just, for now, it's only going to be a short while. There's only so much I can contain myself because once the thoughts begin to bubble in my mind and my brain, you know it's coming out.
I love you even more than I thought I could.
Oh, I get another 100. Is that what you're saying?
110.
You have to go online and you have to look at how to make, what do you call them?
Pork rinds.
Pork rinds. It is the most amazing process. Wait till you see how it's done and how it pops up. It's incredible.
It's disgusting.
No, it's not disgusting. They have no calories, too, and they're delicious. If you put the right amount of salt and seasoning on it, it's so good.
You know what else has no calories?
And they're really hot and delicious.
Air. I would rather just have air.
All right, I'm going to make a prediction, and I may be going out on a limb here. I'm predicting, I told her, you're going to be how many days in Hawaii?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right. On day, you're not going to do it the first day. You're not going to do it the third day. You're going to do it on day 10.
Sean, you're blowing up my spot here.
So what day are you planning on doing it? You might as well tell us all now. Day 10. I'm predicting day 10.
Actually, it's today.
What? Today?
Are you guys serious? Oh, my God.
And Don gets down on one knee. Wait, get the microphone.
No. Hang on. Put the microphone down there.
All right. On one knee.
No.
Harry. Oh, by the way, before you do it, there's some people in there. Oh, look. Oh, there are other people in there. Look at all. There's grandma and mom and dad and Linda's mom. Guess what? It may actually be real. I don't know. His face is very red. All right. When you talk, talk into the mic.
All right, I'm talking into the mic.
Yeah, no, look at me. Talk to me. Okay. Ignore him.
Ignore him.
Ignore him.
Babe, I know it's only been 3 months, but you know I've fallen madly in love with you, and we've discussed this many times over, and I thought this would be the biggest surprise because I didn't think you would expect it.
Oh, yes.
So, no, will you marry me?
Yes. Oh, they're kissing in the studio. No tongue. All right, stop. Oh, look at this. Congratulations.
We're loving you till we're 70.
No, forget the wedding that's going to happen in England. The big wedding is your wedding.
See, it's funny. I like to plan for other people, but I don't like being the center of attention. So my own wedding actually gives me anxiety.
And the only way that's going to happen is if you go elope and go to the Little White Chapel in Vegas and come home and say, I'm married. Because otherwise, it's going to be, oh, Lauren, oh, you're such a beautiful
bride. I would have needed you to tell my parents that I got eloped or something so I didn't have to do it.
Oh, I could handle that in 10 seconds. That's, you know, let me be the bad guy all the time. All right, that was 10 years worth of tape. We think it almost began to sound like
good job,
like
Ethan. Oh my gosh.
Well, what do you think? Why do you think Ethan did that? Why don't you believe
Ethan did do it? Say good job, Ethan.
Okay, you all say right. Good job, Ethan.
Good job, Ethan.
There you
great
go.
Job. You know what that audio right. just reminded me of?
What?
What a hopeless romantic you are.
Aww.
Oh, they're kissing. Oh, no tongue. Oh.
No, I guess just the opposite. I'm not.
It makes me laugh a lot. I was cracking up.
You know, we should put the video back up on Hannity.com for the day that you got proposed to. And it was a big surprise. You did not know it was coming, did you?
No, I had no idea. Even up until the very moment, like right before, I just didn't think it was going to happen.
Well, when you saw mom and grandma and Linda's mom and everybody's mom and, you know, the spirit of my parents were in there. I mean, I guess by that point, you kind of figured out that it was happening.
By that point, but I really didn't think he was going to do it here. So I just, until that last second, I was like, he's not proposing here. and then he did.
Well, the worst part is it's a visual. Now, we did do a Facebook Live, if I recall, and we'll put that up. But the worst part is neither one of you talk. I mean, to get you to talk on the radio has been a 10-year mission. And now that I've got you to the point where you actually can converse on the air, you're leaving.
I know.
It's taken a long time.
I mean, as you heard in the tape, I don't like being the center of attention. I leave that to you. You have the gift of gab, and you're very good at it.
Is what you're saying.
And I love it, so I give you the floor all the time.
I don't even have the biggest mouth on the team.
Careful.
That would be careful.
I don't know about that.
That would be...
Tread lightly,
I would be miscareful over there.
You thought the protesters were bad. Watch out.
Yeah, we had the protesters today. Listen, we love you, Lauren.
We love
really
you,
do.
We love you guys.
And, we are happy for you, and I'm going to give you a nice wedding gift, and I've got a really special going-away gift for Lauren. My dog, Marley, had puppies, and I am giving one of my white golden puppies, Majestic Manor. It's in Indiana, and it's got a website. They're the cutest puppies. And you're getting one of our male puppies, okay?
I am. I think we're going to have to take a poll to see who's going to, how we're going to name the puppy.
MajesticManorGolden.com. All right, Lauren, you have a great life. It was nice meeting you. Thank you so much for being on the Sean Hannity
and
Show.
And as a parting gift for your 10 years of service, we'll give you Dollar Shave Club.
He'll give you Dollar Shave Club. By the way, when you leave, your Dollar Shave Club membership runs out. You're going to have to re-up it yourself. And you can go to DollarShaveClub.com. If you want to look, feel, and smell your best, you name it, they've got shampoo, conditioner. You can even use it on your new puppy. And they got body wash, toothpaste. I have been here in London without a toothbrush the entire time. It's ridiculous.
You stink.
I'm in the worst hotel that I've ever been in, and they don't have a toothbrush.
It's terrible.
So I've been using my fingers every day like and swallowing bottles of mouth. All right, that's going to wrap things up from London, although we have Hannity in 3 hours from right now. As we check in tonight, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett. We have a new report, what went on with the Lisa Page hearings with Catherine Herridge. Nigel Farage will stop by. Louis Gohmert, Ron DeSantis, and Daniel Hoffman. And then Monday, we'll see you from Helsinki. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight at 9 back here on the air Monday.